College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall after the Shockers accepted an invitation last week to the American Athletic Conference. Want to remind you that you can subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. Again, we want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. We also want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook and give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year, and send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. There you go right now. You're set for your Audible needs. And now, obviously, as we transition to the offseason, post-Final Four, post-national title game in college basketball, we are going to focus on realignment and the American Conference adding Wichita State. The initial thoughts that I have after this is, all of a sudden, the perception of both the American Conference and also the perception of Wichita State's basketball program has completely shifted. Why is it completely shifted? Because now the American Conference, a conference that has struggled to get appropriate seating and appropriate respect from a national perspective, has a bona fide top 10 to 15 team next season. All of a sudden, Wichita State becomes another top 10 game for Cincinnati, for SMU. Programs who had great regular seasons last year and only managed to get a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. Now, conversely, Wichita State, okay, is stepping up a weight class. Wichita State has run through the Missouri Valley Conference like a chainsaw through butter under Greg Marshall. In the last 4 years, the Shockers in conference play are 68-4 in regular season league games. Now, all of a sudden, they're not playing Indiana State. They're not playing Loyola, Illinois. They're not even playing schools like Northern Iowa or Southern Illinois. They are playing Cincinnati, Temple, SMU, Houston. How will the Shockers respond against that type of an opponent? And again, you have to remember right now, Wichita State and Cincinnati entering next season as legitimate top 15 squads. SMU will be right behind if Shemi Ojale returns from the pre-NBA draft workouts and decides to come back to school for the 17-18 season. And, you know, you look and you start to speculate and you start to think ahead to next season, and you look at the American Conference as a basketball league, and really, when realignment went down 4 or 5 years ago, this league was perceived as the leftovers from the old Big East. But now, to me, you've got some bona fide programs. Cincinnati, Wichita State, Temple to me is a top 40 program next year as long as Josh Brown is healthy at point guard. And then, of course, we mentioned SMU. SMU will be top 25 with Shemi Ojale. Without him, they'll probably be more in that Temple range of being a top 40. But for this league to really take off, to be a league that can get, I think, 4 to 5 teams into the NCAA tournament on an annual basis, it is going to need major resurgence from UConn and Memphis. UConn, obviously, a brutal season last year with injuries upon injuries. Two starters, Altari Gilbert and Terry Larrier, went down with season-ending injuries. And Memphis continues to lose personnel, as we saw this past week, as both Dedrick and KJ Lawson, the top two players in that program, opted to transfer. The key for the American, in terms of being more legitimate as a league for NCAA tournament representation, resurgences at UConn and Memphis. It is paramount and it is pivotal for the future of that league. And Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. They are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, hand-picked and continuously refreshed. You can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place
place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/CH today to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CH today. Now that we've got you all set up with Audible, we want to find out what Greg Marshall thinks about the new chapter in Wichita State's basketball program. We'll find out when Greg Marshall, the aforementioned head coach, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Wichita State is part of the college basketball vernacular for much of the basketball season, but the Shockers making some off-season news last week as they accept an invitation to join the American Athletic Conference, and the face of the Shockers program joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. It is Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall. And coach, where were you when you first got the news that your program was joining the AAC?
Officially?
Yes.
Well, we kind of knew it was going to happen because I was asked what I would be doing at 1 o'clock, because they needed me at a press conference. So I knew that, there was no need for a press conference on my behalf unless the official word was coming in. So I kind of knew the day before when I blocked my calendar for a 1 o'clock press conference the following day. And, you know, I'd seen or heard enough to know that it was moving in that direction, but again, I was not at liberty to discuss it with anyone because the word I had was loose lips sink ships, and if it got out that it was really more than just conversation that was going in a positive direction, it could hurt the whole process.
How realistic did you think this marriage was potentially when your program's name was brought up as a potential addition last fall at the AAC meetings?
You know, I thought it was very, initially, as far back as 2 years ago, I didn't think there was much of a chance because, you know, I don't know, these consultants that the university worked with, I guess it approached various leagues, I think maybe the Mountain West and the Big East and the A-10, as well as the AAC, and a couple of commissioners had gone on record as saying that there's no way it will happen, they don't have football, this and that. So I was thinking, well, maybe this won't happen. But I think it started to pick up traction after the Big 12 did not expand and the AAC saw that, you know, they had a couple of their members that were potentially in the crosshairs with the Big 12, and it just didn't happen. So maybe there's strength in numbers, and we can bring in a 12th basketball-playing school that can help our league and maybe get some at-large bids down the road and whatnot. So I think it picked up steam after the Big 12 did not expand.
You've built the national program at Wichita State. You went to a Final Four in 2013. You were number one seed the year after that in the NCAA tournament, had an undefeated regular season. There's two schools of thought. One is to make the move like you had to go to a better conference and have a chance to get, you know, an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, or it's to really kind of try and emulate what Gonzaga has done in a lesser league. Why do you think you and your administration opted to go with the former versus the latter?
I really think that our president, Dr. John Bardo, has already implemented a deal where students from the Dallas and Oklahoma City and Kansas City, Missouri, he calls it the I-35 corridor. He had already given those students from those geographic areas in-state tuition to Wichita State. He saw it as vital to our university, and I think he sees that these universities and programs in the AAC are more like what we're trying to do at Wichita State from a research and grant and the cities that we're trying to associate with, like Dallas and Houston and Tulsa and Memphis and New Orleans and even all those on the East Coast in Florida and Temple, Philly, Orlando, Tampa. Those are some great cities, and I think he feels like these universities have more in common than what we had in the Valley. And that's, I don't understand all of that, to be honest. I'm in athletics, I'm a basketball coach, but I do know that there's some great programs from a basketball perspective in the American, and we've got our work cut out for us, and we're eager for the challenge.
Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Shockers will join the American Athletic Conference for the 17-18 season. You know, Coach, you told me in one of our many interviews over the years that you were having a conversation with John Calipari once when you were at Winthrop, and he said that, you know, you made Winthrop your next job just because of how you elevated the program, and you've done that a couple of times at Wichita State. Do you feel like with this move, the Wichita State job has again taken another rung on the ladder?
I hope so. I hope now that our recruiting can take another bump and we can become a more preferred destination for some of these 4-5-star recruits. I hope that we can continue our run of consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. I hope that we can make deep runs once we get into the tournament. I guess the truth will come out and be told with how well we do in making this move. But we're excited. Our players are excited. I think recruiting has already taken an upswing. We've gotten calls from recruits as well as their coaches and saying, "Hey, now we're going to be able to get you some players." And that, okay, well, that those calls weren't coming when we were in the Missouri Valley Conference, and now they're coming. So I don't know what that means, but we'll see going forward. We're done for 17 as we speak, but 18 will be a big class for us, and I guess the proof will be in the pudding.
Now, Wichita State is 68-4 in regular season games in the Valley over the last 4 years, and now you're going to be going into a league with blue chip coaches that have won national championships. Before this was announced last week, what was your perception of the American Athletic Conference from afar?
Oh, I thought it was a great league. You know, I know many of these coaches. Tubby Smith, I've known since he was an assistant coach at VCU back in the day. He's won a national championship at Kentucky and now coaches at Memphis. Kevin Ollie obviously won a national championship at UConn in 14, I believe. Mick Cronin doing a great job at Cincinnati. Johnny Dawkins just finished runner-up in the NIT and won at Illinois State, a very tough place to play as a new coach at Central Florida. Tim Jankovic, I know from his days in the Valley when he was at Illinois State, and he's doing a wonderful job at SMU. I got a chance to meet Coach Dunphy when we played them in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. Tremendous coach and a great program. Mike Dunleavy. Guy's been an NBA coach. He was one of my idols as a kid growing up in South Carolina when he played for the South Carolina Gamecocks, and he's just started rebuilding there at Tulane. So there's so many, many Frank Haith and Jeff Lebo and Brian Gregory I know from his days at Dayton. So he's now the new coach at South Florida, and I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. But great coaches, great programs, great brands, and hopefully we can just add to that.
Now, when you play great programs with great coaches, there's obviously a greater chance that you're going to lose more games, and obviously your one-loss record may not be as strong as it's been in past years, but you'll have a better chance potentially of getting an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. What is it like for you guys right now to know that you're going to be able to go through conference play and it's going to be okay if you lose a game or two? Because the last couple of years, that really wasn't an option.
No, you know, that it's I don't know. I don't know if it takes pressure off, but this year when we were sitting at 29-4 going into our championship game of our conference tournament, and we had played the likes of Michigan State, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, LSU, and Louisville in the non-conference, and the word is, if we don't win the championship on that Sunday, we may not get in the NCAA tournament. That is disheartening, and that's the reason, the primary reason that I left Winthrop 10 years ago. You know, we went to 7 NCAA tournaments in 9 years, but my last team was ranked in the top 25 at Winthrop in 2007, and I still knew that had we not gone and won the conference tournament and gotten the automatic bid, that we were probably on the outside looking in when the NCAA tournament selection show took place that following Sunday. So there's a lot of pressure in those one-bid leagues, and I think the Valley back in those days was a multi-bid league, but the truth is that since 2007, Wichita State is the only team from the Missouri Valley Conference that has gotten an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, and we did it four times. So hopefully with this new league, not only will it be a two, but three, but maybe a four-bid league, maybe a five-bid league, and it can be like the Big East was this year because, as you know, Connecticut won't be like they were this year very long. I mean, I'm sure they'll be right back in the thick of things next year, and Temple is a perennial NCAA tournament team, and Cincinnati and SMU is on the rise. Houston's on the rise with Coach Kelvin Sampson. There's another guy, and I hope I didn't forget him. I mean, he's been to a Final Four and certainly one of the best coaches in America. So it's going to be a great challenge, but again, we've got a little more margin for error and don't have to basically run the table in your league and win the conference tournament to get to that NCAA tournament.
And when you were at Wichita State, obviously there's so much pressure put on those non-conference games because that's major opportunities to move the needle against quality opponents. How do you think joining the American will affect the way Wichita State schedules now moving forward prior to league play?
Well, we're still going to do what we've been doing all along and try to play the absolute best teams that will play us in home-and-home situations or in one-offs or neutral site games. And we still have Oklahoma and Oklahoma State on the schedule. We're working right now to try to get the ink dry on a contract with Baylor. And there's a couple of SEC schools that we're negotiating with. So those are going to be our non-conference games. Plus, we play in Maui this year. So we may have one of the best schedules in the country next year. But it suits our team because we have 10 veterans returning that were very accomplished. So the timing is great, and hopefully we can continue to have a team like we had this year and like we had in the previous couple of years, and we anticipate having next year, and keep that schedule as strong as possible. And the selection show always talks about quality wins. It rarely talks about quality losses, but it talks about quality wins, and you can stack quality losses up all you want as long as you have some top level wins and in your non-conference you try to schedule up, which is certainly what we're trying to do.
Well, and you know, you mentioned obviously scheduling up, and obviously a series with Baylor would obviously be reaffirming that. Is that a home and home series that you're planning, coach, or trying to work out?
We're hoping to try to get that done. We'd start down there, but it's in the works.
Okay, and then for you personally, you know, you mentioned obviously the evolution of your program since you came from Winthrop. Coaches never need added motivation because coaches are such competitive people. But how has this move to the American reinvigorated you, knowing that you're going to be coaching on a regular basis against some of the great coaches that you just mentioned?
Well, I'll give you the quote that I gave in the press conference last Friday. I think this should be exhilarating for the fans. It should be make the coaches be a little nauseous because we know the type competition and the type coaching we're going to see opposite us and that other bench. But the entertainment value for Wichita and our great fan support is just going to be off the charts. So when you have the likes of Connecticut and Memphis and Temple and Central Florida coming to Wichita on a annual basis, it's just going to be great. I mean, I know the demand for our tickets is already exploding. I mean, we're having people call right now about getting tickets, and there are no tickets. So supply and demand is well in form here in Wichita. So we may have to move some of our games down to the 15,000 seat Intrust Bank Arena as opposed to the 10-5 here in Coke Arena.
Final thing for me, Coach, it's no secret that you've had your share of opportunities to leave Wichita State for bigger jobs in college basketball. Does this move to the American make it less likely that you'll ever leave Wichita State for another college job?
You know, it may, but I really, it's never been, to me, it's never been based upon what league I'm coaching in, but certainly I did indicate that I didn't like being in a one-bid league, and that's why I left Winthrop initially to come to the Valley. For me, it's about enjoying coming to work every day with the people that I work for and with, enjoying their company, knowing that everybody's pulling in the right direction to try to make our program the finest that it can be, getting to coach the type people that I want to coach and the type young men that will allow us to coach them, and they'll make the right decisions on and off the court, and just being happy and with my family and our living arrangement here in Wichita. And we are. My daughter's a senior in high school, so we'll be empty nesters after next year. So you never say never, but the bottom line is there's been quite a number of opportunities, and we've always elected to stay. I've been a head coach for 19 years, and I've had two jobs. So I'm pretty content where I am. But, again, we don't bury our head in the sand, so we'll see what happens going forward. You never say never. You just what I've always done, John, is to try to coach my program at Winthrop for 9 years and now 10 years here at Wichita State, and have everybody in the organization in their mind think that they're playing and working for and coaching for a program like the Boston Celtics or the Los Angeles Lakers. And if you do that, everything else will take care of itself.
Well, Greg, this obviously makes your program a different program in terms of the platform it's going to be on. I think it's great for college basketball. Appreciate a couple minutes, and I'm sure I'll talk to you down the line throughout the summer.
Thanks, John. Let's have a good spring, man. I hope you're doing great, and I appreciate you having me on.
We'd like to thank Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we're the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home cooked meals. You can even customize your recipes each week based on preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs, and there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/collegehoops. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/collegehoops. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And now that we've got you set with Blue Apron, it is time for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Again, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now is going to come from Samuel Woolard, and it's, John, does UNC winning the national title make it overrated to recruit one-and-done prospects? Sam, it's an interesting question because, you know, we had heard that the academic scandal at North Carolina really inhibited North Carolina's ability to recruit elite one-and-done blue-chip type players, and the Tar Heels wound up benefiting from having so many older guys. Think about it for a second. North Carolina, with no one-and-done prospects, was one shot away from winning back-to-back national championships. Our next question comes from UConn Report, and it's, John, who do you see UConn pursuing to fill vital empty roles on their roster? And look, it's no secret that UConn has struggled a bit. Obviously, during the offseason, they had multiple players transfer: Vance Jackson, Juwan Durham, also Makai Ashton-Lankford. asked out of his letter of intent, a top 50 prospect. I think UConn's going to be heavily involved in the grad transfer market. One name to keep an eye on, according to sources, Fordham transfer Antoine Anderson, the crafty lefty, made the shot that beat VCU in the Atlantic 10 regular season game this year that the Rams upset the other Rams in the Bronx. And now that we've got you set with our social media stuff, let's get to some Nuggets.
Five good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, it's just something I was talking about with North Carolina. North Carolina's recruiting, again, not suffering, and they are now becoming a four-year type program. Think about the Tar Heels' potential starting lineup next year if everybody comes back as expected. You would have Joel Berry potentially at point guard. You would have Kenny Williams as well on a wing up front, as long as obviously Tony Bradley comes back for North Carolina from the NBA draft if they're putting his name in. He would be in a situation where he would be up front with Luke May, who had that big-time game against Kentucky in the Elite Eight. And then you would have Theo Pinson on a wing. That is a similar type of team as we saw this past year win the national title. Nugget number two, one and not done. A reminder for all college basketball junkies out there, there is a 30 for 30 on John Calipari premiering Thursday night on ESPN. This is going to obviously take us all the way through Calipari's career at UMass, Memphis, and Kentucky. If you're a college basketball fan and you're listening to this podcast, you want to watch this show. It is appointment television for the college hoops junkie, especially me. A grad transfer update for nugget number three. New Mexico's Elijah Brown, one of the top grad transfers on the market, told me he has cut his list to Oregon, St. Mary's, Gonzaga, Iowa State, and Northwestern. Averaged just under 19 points a game last year. Immediately eligible for next season. Nugget number four, an interesting doubleheader at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, the home base of the Compass Media Network's audio studios. December 8th, you'll have Arizona State against St. John's, according to sources, and USC against Oklahoma. I also heard, according to another source, that the Staples Center could add a third game to this event. And nugget number five, Kentucky not done recruiting. They've already signed, you know, obviously blue chip recruits like PJ Washington, Nick Richards, and Kwade Green, as well as Hamidou Diallo. But I am hearing that Mohamed Bama, the five-star big man, is a strong Kentucky lean. This would give Kentucky another anchor in the front court and maybe the best shot blocker in the 2017 class. We would like to thank Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be right back.